good to be here. Sure that I always enjoy coming to Gospel Light Baptist Church. We've been doing this for a long time now, and it's good to see what God's doing. Brother Freddie called me this past week, touching base with me, you know, a little bit about today and some things that I needed to know about. And he's telling me about your missions conference. He was thrilled to death. And I tell you what, after he told me, I was thrilled to death too. That's amazing. That's amazing. And when the church gives like that to missions, when they open up their heart and they sacrifice and they step out by faith and they give by faith, God is going to bless that. God's going to honor that. And he'll bless his church in a very special way. Brother Freddie mentioned that I might say a word about what we're doing. Of course, we're involved in printing the gospel. Each year, we have a special project. Now, this is along with many, many, many others. But a few years ago, the Lord laid it on my heart to take this on myself. And I got with Brother David Wade, who runs the printing presses over at Macedonia for us. And I told him, I said, David, God's laid it on my heart personally to raise the money and buy the paper to print 500,000 Spanish gospel tracts for Central America. And will you work with me? What will I need to do? And he said, we'll work together. He said, if you raise the money, he said, I'll furnish, to raise the money to buy the paper. He said, I'll furnish the ink and everything else and run the presses, and we'll print 500,000 Spanish gospel tracts. Full color, beautiful, beautiful gospel tracts. We've been doing this now for, I don't know, several years. So there's been a few million tracts that's been sent out through this. Now, we're right in the middle of, you know, getting the money together. We try to print them toward the end of the year. And the last time I checked, I think it's going to take about $2,500. Paper keeps going up on us a little bit. It's going to take about $2,500 to buy the paper. Last time I looked at the account, I think we've got about $1,100, maybe a little bit more money than that that's come in, and that's good. But it's still, though, lacking a little bit. So help us pray about that the balance of this will come in. I can turn that over to Brother Wade, and he can buy the paper. And then by the end of the year, or at the latest, the first part of next year, we'll be cutting those down, folding them, packing them up, and shipping them down to Nicaragua. And then from there, they'll be distributed. Now, these particular tracts, why we do these, we give these to the pastors, to the national pastors, throughout Central America, without any cost to them. And they know where they are, and they'll know about when they'll be there, and they'll come by and they'll pick up whatever they need for their churches, and then they'll take those tracts back to their churches and they'll use them in this coming year. So help us pray about that, if you would. God's just been so good to help us with that. We have, of course, several other projects going on, but I'm not going to get into that today. Not talk about it maybe a little bit tonight, if the Lord will. But I want to look into the Word of God now. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 16. And I'm going to read a very, very familiar passage of Scripture. This is the account of the rich man and Lazarus. I've preached over the years many, many times. Usually the emphasis is always on the rich man going to hell. And the Bible says he died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. But I want to take a different approach today. God began to deal my heart a while back about this, in the last couple of weeks. This is the first time I've preached in over 2 weeks. First time we've been to church in more than 2 weeks because of this mess that I've been dealing with. Still got it in my throat, but seems to be coming on pretty good right now, so... If you're not hearing me, just hold your hand up a little bit, and I'll try to. Either the sound man will push me up a little bit, or I'll try to push it up a little bit more too. But what I want to talk to you about, though, I want to talk to you about Lazarus. I want to talk to you, not the rich man. I don't think I've ever heard anybody preach about Lazarus, especially in light of what the Lord. The Lord just really pressed this on my heart. I'll tell you what happened. A few days ago, a couple weeks ago, there was a young lady, her daddy had died. And they were brokenhearted, and I understand that. I can relate to that. I lost my daddy when he was about 62, 63 years old. That's been a long time ago. And I can understand that. But she made a statement that, you know, that and what she said was true, but not in the full sense of how she said it. You know, her daddy had suffered. He was only 51 years old, and he had a heart attack a few years back. In fact, his wife worked for me in the print shop when I was publications director. But she made this statement. She was glad that her daddy was through with his sufferings and that he had his new body, you know, and he was rejoicing in that. Now, that is so, but it's not so in the fullest sense of how that it comes about. And what I want to talk to you about this morning, now, I'm going to preach, I usually preach from an outline, but I'm going to preach more of a narrative type message today. Now, narrative type message is where you basically take scriptures and you take them and tell a story. And that's what I want to do this morning. I want to tell you a story. I want to answer a question for you. What happens when a person dies? What happens when we die? Now, that's not very comforting, but I used to not think it wasn't, you know, talking about dying. Don't want to talk about dying. Don't want to talk about living. But I'll tell you what, when you get on up to my age, you begin to think more about dying because you know the time's coming. And you begin to wonder, hey, you know, I don't want to be in the dark on this. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know when, and the Bible's very clear. The Bible's very clear about what happens when a righteous man dies. Now, let me put it this way. A righteous man, when we talk about a righteous man dying, in the Old Testament. Don't talk about saved people in the Old Testament. We use that term, but we know what we're talking about. But the righteous, they died in Christ in the Old Testament with the promise that Christ was going to come. Okay? And then die and shed his blood and redeem and pay for our sins. So in the Old Testament, there was a way that their salvation was provided through the faith that they had in the offerings that were offered year after year, the lambs and the bullocks and all the pigeons and all the different animals and birds that were offered as sacrifices. And their blood was shed. Their blood was shed. And just like Christ, it was all foreshadowing Christ coming and dying on the cross and shedding his blood. But in the Old Testament, we use the word atonement. You know, our sins have been atoned for. That's an Old Testament word. But because atonement means to cover over. And that's exactly what happened in the Old Testament. They would offer those sacrifices, and they had to be offered again every year, over and over. But those sacrifices simply covered over over the sins of the people until Christ come and shed his blood. Now, there's another word, and you find it in two or three places in the New Testament. One place is 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. 1 John 2 and 2. It says there that Christ is the propitiation for our sins. Now, that's a hard word. That's a long word. But it means different than atone. Atone means to cover over. The Old Testament saints had their sins covered over. And they had to be covered over and covered over and covered over till Christ came. But when Christ came, he propitiated. That's the word the Bible uses, for our sins. That word means satisfied. Satisfied. When Christ propitiated for our sins, as it says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, he satisfied the sin debt. And there is no more sin debt. It's not been covered. Our sins have been washed away, never to be remembered again. So when a saved person dies from the New Testament, then, of course, we're saved because we have trusted Christ. We've trusted in the shed blood of Christ and the cross, on the sacrifice on the cross. The Old Testament people were trusting in those sacrifices that was pointing to the cross. And you'll see what I mean as we move along in here. All right, now follow me if you will. Turn with me to Luke chapter 16. And we'll read the account of the rich man and Lazarus. Not all of it, but just a few words to get us going here. Verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores. Now, you know, a lot of Bibles that have subtitles in, they'll say this is a parable. And there's some books that you read, they'll say this is a parable. This is not a parable. Parables do not use personal names. And we've got Lazarus' personal name and a personal reference to a certain rich man. So this is not a parable. A parable is a earthly message with a heavenly, earthly story with a heavenly message. And it's illustrating a truth. This is a fact. This is something that happened. This took place. The rich man died, the Bible said. There was the rich man clothed in purple and so forth. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died. Now, this is Old Testament setting. This is before the resurrection now that this is taking place. So this is a righteous man. He was counted as righteousness. And so the Bible says, and it came to pass, the beggar died. And here's what happened when the beggar died in the Old Testament economy. The Bible says the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Okay? Remember that now. Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. They stuck him in the ground. But look at the next thing. Because when the rich man died, the next conscious thought that he had, and listen, we have an eternal soul within us. We have an eternal soul within us. We're going to live forever and ever and ever. But now if you're not saved, you're going to live in hell. Well, and then the lake of fire. But if you're saved, you're going to live in God's paradise forever and ever and ever. The Bible says, and the rich man also died and was buried, and his first conscious thought, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus on his bosom. Now the rich man goes on and has a conversation with Abraham. Now Abraham was the father of Israel, they consider him Abraham the father, and he was considered a great man and a comforting man. But now, what you got to understand, when this was written, where was hell and where was paradise? They were both in the center of the earth. And I'll show you some scriptures that'll tell you that in just a little bit. It was divided into two compartments. On one side were those being judged in hell, in the flames, because the rich man said, I'm tormented in this flame. On the other side, across what Abraham called a great gulf, was paradise. And that's where the righteous dead went. That's where they carried Lazarus. The angels literally carried Lazarus to paradise. It was in the center of the earth. And in between was this great gulf. And Abraham tells, Lazarus says, the rich man says, send Lazarus over to my family. He became a missionary. After the rich man died and ended up in hell, he became a missionary. He says, send Lazarus over and let him go to my brothers. I've got so many brothers, and they're not saved. And, they're not right. They're not righteous. But Abraham said, no, that can't happen. There's a great gulf. You can't come here and I can't come there. That can't be. But now then, so you got to setting. You got here, and they call that place, and that's what Jesus calls it here, Abraham's bosom. Now if you do some study and you look up and some Bible reference material and some, you'll find that Abraham's bosom was paradise. That's paradise. That's where people went. That's where people that are saved are righteous from the Old Testament. That's where they go when they die. They go to paradise. Jesus told the thief on the cross, "Today shalt thou be with me," where? In heaven. No, he said in paradise. Now there's a lot of things about, you know, words and things, and I'll try to explain that to you. But what I want you to have settled in your mind is, when you die, where are you going to be? Okay? If you're saved, you're going to go to paradise, just like a thief. Well, not like a thief, but not the same place, because that place has been moved. But now, just bear with me, if you will, as we go through this. Abraham's bosom was a place of comfort and rest for the Old Testament saints. Just like Stephen died, they stoned Stephen and he died. And as he was dying, he stood up and he said, "I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God, the Father." Where was that? That was the heavenly paradise where all are today. The Old Testament saints are there today. All the New Testament saints, the people have been saved since the cross, since the resurrection. They're there today. They're in that place of paradise. In the Old Testament, they called it Abraham's bosom because of what Abraham meant. But it was a place. It was a place of comfort. It was a place of rest, and that's where they are. They're not sleeping. They're active, and I'll show you that. They're active, but they're there around the throne of God, in a perfect place. But now, Jesus told the thief, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." That's Luke 23:43. Now, as I said, paradise and hell were separated by a great gulf, and one side was paradise where the righteous dead went. The other side was hell where the lost souls went, and will stay until after the final judgment, and then death and hell will be given over into the lake of fire. All be settled and take care for it, as far as that's concerned. But now, you know, the Bible tells us a couple of things in some places. You know, hell's a place of judgment and fire reserved until the final judgment. But in the Bible, in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 9, there's an interesting verse. It says, "Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming." Now, the next verse is going to explain what that's talking about. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14, the Bible says that, "Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure." Now, what's happened, hell is just where it's always been and will continue to be until it's emptied over into the lake of fire. It's where it's always been. But what has happened, when Christ moved those Old Testament saints out and moved them into the third heaven, where paradise is today, that emptied that place, and hell, and now then it's spilling over with people. So God didn't intend anybody to go to hell. Did you know that? The Bible said hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. God didn't intend for any of us to go to hell. He intended, Christ paid the sin debt for all. Whosoever will, let him come. Mankind, and I'll read you a verse in a little bit on that. But now, I want to follow this through. Here we got Abraham and Abraham's bosom, paradise in the heart of the earth. Here we got Lazarus dying and being carried by the angels to paradise. And there he is in that place of comfort and rest until the time of the judgment. After, of course, the resurrection and all of that. But now, we go back then, Christ is on the cross now. He's on the cross. He's dying. He's shedding his blood. The thieves get into a fuss. Both of them fuss at him to begin with, but then Finally, the one thief realizes, hey, this man is God. And he's not done, he told the other thief, he's not done anything, leave him alone. But the one thief died and went to hell that day, that moment, just like the rich man did. I mean, as soon as the breath went out of him, in hell he lifted up his eyes. But Jesus told, this is in Luke chapter 23 and verse 43, Jesus told that other thief who repented on the cross, he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now, don't you get that? Where's paradise? Paradise centered earth right now. That's Abraham's bosom right now. And he said, today you're going to be with me. Because see, Jesus, when he died and they put him in the grave, 3 days and three nights, he had work to do. He had work to do. You say, what in the world did he do? Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter number 3, if I can get over here to it. 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verses 18 through 20. Notice what the scripture says. For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, that's on the cross, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened, given life by the Spirit. Now look at verse 19. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Who are these people? Which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. You know what happened with the flood, Noah? 8 souls were saved. They were righteous. They became righteous because they believed God. And they went when Noah died and his family died, they went to paradise. All the rest of those people that was on the earth at that time that died in the flood went to hell. They went to hell because they were not righteous people. The last righteous man was Methuselah, and he lived the longest of any man recorded in the Bible. And I believe if you go back and you can trust the genealogy and everything, so-and-so lived so long, you know, and had and begat so-and-so, and then they lived so long and begat so-and-so. You can do a chart and go through. I believe with all my heart that the day that Methuselah died, the rain started falling on the ark, because he's the last righteous man other than Noah and his children, and they were in the ark, and they were preserved that way. But the last righteous man had died and been carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, that place of rest and contentment. Now I'm talking about, where do people go when they die? What happens to us when we die? But here in 1 Peter, it says, by the which he preached unto the prisons in spirit, in prison, which were sometime disobedient, talking about Noah's day, and what was happening there. You see, the Old Testament people, for lack of a better term, were saved on credit. Do you understand what I'm saying? They were saved on a promise, like a promissory note. You know, you go out to the bank and you sign a promissory note. I promise to pay back $1,000, you know, in 90 days. You see, and then that has to be satisfied. They were saved on the promise. See, the Old Testament is full of prophecies and promises concerning the coming of Christ. All the lambs and all the animals, that blood was shed to atone for their sin, cover over their sin, and they accepted that. That was their receiving that, and they became righteous. And then when they died, they went to Abraham's bosom for their place to stay until God moved all that out. But now Jesus gave what he did. It says he preached to these people. Well, he says, he went, verse 19, by the which also he went. Now, when did he do this? While he was in paradise with the thief that he took down there. He preached to those people, said, the promise has been fulfilled. The blood has been shed. I've already decreed from the cross, it is finished. And now these folks are redeemed, just like we are. Just like we are. Now, what happened, though, from there? Okay, turn with me, if you will. Now I'm going to get lost here if I'm not careful. Matthew chapter 27. Go back to Matthew chapter 27. All right, here we got two men, Lazarus and rich man. They both die. Lazarus goes to paradise. Rich man goes to hell. We got the thief on the cross. He gets right with God. He goes to paradise. Jesus said, you'll be with me today in paradise. Jesus, during his time after his death in the tomb, goes to paradise and preaches the message that those people have been redeemed. They're no longer bought on credit. The blood of Christ has now been shed, and they're saved. They're saved eternally. Now then, what's the next thing, order of events in this? If you look with me Matthew chapter 27, I don't have this marked. I'll have to turn over to Matthew 27. And folks, I hope I'm not losing you, because this meant so much to me when it dawned on me what, you know, I've always thought about death, you know, well, I'm going to die one of these days. I've thought about that ever since I was a little boy, really. I'm going to die one of these days. What's going to happen when I die? Well, I knew that I was saved, and I knew that I was going to go to heaven, and I knew all that. But I really didn't know the details. And if you're like me, I kind of like to know when something is as important as this. I like to know what's going on. But look in Matthew chapter 27, and verses 51 through 53. 27. And like I said, I should have marked this, but I didn't. 51 through 53. Okay. All right. Now, as we move forward, Christ was on the cross. He died. He was buried. He stayed in the tomb 3 days and three nights, and he was resurrected. During this interim time, from the Bible, he goes to the paradise, Abraham's bosom, and preaches to those Old Testament saints and gives them the gospel message. And now then, they're redeemed. They're not bought on credit, on promise. They're redeemed now. All right, but now notice this. Verse 51 here. Look at verse 50. The Bible says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Now, we see in one of the other scriptures that what he said was, it is finished. The work, he said, I've done it. Father, I've come, I've finished the work. I've given myself a sacrifice. I've shed my blood. The sin debt's paid in full. It's propitiated for. It's satisfied. You know, used to, they'd write on a debt. I don't know if they still do a deed. Satisfied when it was paid off. That's what propitiation is. It's satisfied. It's paid off. It's gone. It's not being covered over and remembered, never no more. But now, here, Jesus had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. He died. What happened then? Verse 21, 51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. That all happened when Jesus died. When he died. There was all sort of climactic things that took place. The veil in the temple, which was so thick, you know, I read some writer that had done some research on it, said you'd take two teams of mules or something like that and try to put, you couldn't tear the veil, it was so thick. But the day Christ died, the veil split. And that signified that a new way had been opened up. No longer by goats and bulls and lambs and all of that. A new way, a new and living way had been opened up. But now then, what happened? Notice. You know, for a long time, I missed this. I didn't read it. No, I read it. I was reading it one day. It's been years ago. But now the veil of the temple was rent in twain, top to bottom. The earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Jesus has just been resurrected. And look what it says, 52. And the graves were opened. Now who's in those graves? And many bodies of the saints which slept arose. There's your Old Testament saints. Down in Abraham's bosom. And the graves are open, and out they come. That's what's called the first fruits of the resurrection in the Bible. And now notice 53. And came out. The saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. See, those Old Testament saints got up, walked around in town. And those people saw and said, hey, wasn't that thief we just crucified? What's he doing if he's walking around? He's fixing to go on another trip. He's fixing to go on another trip. But now, did they all go back in the grave? No. No. God's moving paradise out of the heart of the earth to the third heaven. And I'll show you how we know that in just a minute. And I'll try to be done here in a little bit. But now, what happened to the Old Testament saints? Turn over with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, it's talking about Christ. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now look at verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth, paradise, where Abraham's bosom was. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So he moved the Old Testament saints from the heart of the earth into the heavens. And that's where they are today. There until all the final judgment's taken form, we get over in Revelation, the last chapters of the book of Revelation. But now, where is paradise today? Where is it today? In 2 Corinthians, and I'll be through here in just a minute. In 2 Corinthians, you may think I'm a heretic, folks. I don't know. I never heard this preached before. I never preached it, but I'm taking it right out of the Bible. But in 2 Corinthians 12, get over there. 2 Corinthians 12 and verses 2 through 4. And this is Paul talking here, Corinth. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether it in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into, what's that word right there? Paradise. And heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Now what happened right here? If you go back to Acts chapter 14 and verse 19, I forget the name. Let's turn over there. Acts chapter 19, verse 14. I'm going to show you something. Acts, that's here somewhere in the New Testament, I know. This is what happened when I don't get all my verses marked down. Acts chapter 14 and verse 19. 14, 15, 14. Hope you're writing this down. Acts chapter 14, verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. But then it says, howbeit his disciples, Paul roused himself. But I think there's evidence here, but I think Paul died for just a while. God had something to show him. And he says over here in 2 Corinthians, 14 years ago. Now, I don't know. I preach out of Scofield Bible. And in the center column up at the top of the page, it gives you a chronological date. And here in Acts, where Paul was stoned and supposedly was dead, it says AD 45. Okay? If you turn back over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul said, I knew a man, and he's talking in third person, is what he's doing. You look up there and it says AD 60. So it was about 14 years from the time that Paul said, Paul had that experience there being stoned and dying, until he tells about he knew a man that was caught up into the third heaven. Now, where is the third heaven? That's fairly simple. Fairly simple. First heaven is the sky above us that we see all the time. We look up, everybody's looking at the eclipse. That's the sky above us. See the stars at night. But then there's these guys that get on these telescopes, and they see way out yonder. That's the second heaven. But then, all far beyond where man has any idea of ever, you know, an astronaut said, well, a Russian astronaut, I believe it was a long time ago, he said, oh, there's no God. I've been up here flying around. I hadn't seen him anywhere. He's a fool. You say, well, your Bible says, man, it says God, no God's a fool. But that's where God lives. Beyond my imagination, beyond my thinking, that's where Paul was caught up to. And he said, I saw things that I can't even talk about. Now, one good thing though, if you read on here, Paul says, but he hath revealed those things to us through his Spirit. See, we can know what's going on up there. Because God, as we read the Bible and we study the Bible, we see God lets us have a glimpse. Now, we don't see what Paul saw, but we get a glimpse. But now, when I die, and I hope you're in the same boat that I'm in, that's not a good way, not a good term. When I die, I have no doubt that when I close my eyes, I don't know if I get a heavenly escort or not, but I will be in paradise. My grandma, how old was Granny Bennett when she died, Shirley? 85. Crippled and crooked and had never had her own home. My granddaddy was a sharecropper. She's a godly woman, though. Anybody walk with God, I believe Granny Bennett walked with God. And I'd go out and see her after she got old and granddaddy was dead. And there was three sisters, and they kind of swapped her around a little bit. Wasn't anything but old folks home back then, and those were sort of pitiful. But I'd go out to sea. I grew up out to the side of Bremen. And at this particular time, I was out there working one day, and I went down to St. Granny Bennett, my mother's mother. And y'all may have heard me talk. I've talked a lot about her because she's so special to me. But I'd walk in, and she'd be sitting in there in the living room in her rocking chair, and she had her Bible. I've got that Bible in my library. She wore the covers off of it. It was probably, well, there wasn't any Walmarts back then. It was probably a 10-cent store Bible, a cheap one. But she had literally worn the covers off. And she took her a brown paper bag and sewed new covers and put on it. I'm going to tell you something, if I can. The night Granny Bennett died, she was in a nursing home. They had to put her in a nursing home. She had not been there long. But they called my aunt and uncle that lived there close by and said, "Miss Bennett's passed on." So they went down there. Well, they called Hightower Funeral Home out there in Bremen. Well, all Hightower Funeral Home had was black ambulances. That's all they had. Since and before. I've been around Hightower Funeral Home. They buried tons of my family since I was a little boy. Uncle Will said he walked outside the hospital just to get out for a little bit, and he looked, and he said they was the most beautiful, white, glowing ambulance sitting there that he'd ever seen. Like he said, it shined like a pearl. And I thought, Grandma's escort. Now that's me reminiscing. That's no Bible. I don't have any Bible for that. I have a Bible that the angels probably took her to paradise that night. I got plenty of Bible for that. But, you know, I like to think that old saint of God, they loaded her up in that pearl ambulance and carried her to heaven. And she's up there today in the third heaven. And now she don't have her glorified body yet. Won't get that till the resurrection. But you see, I heard a preacher preach on it. Dr. Bob Gray down in Jacksonville, Florida, helped me tremendously. He talked about the soul and the fact that the soul has a form. Soul has a form, and that's what lives eternally. And this body's going to go back to the dirt. But though one of these days when Jesus comes, and I'm going to preach a little bit about that tonight, maybe, I'll get a glorified body. My granny won't be stooped over anymore. She's not stooped over up there. She's not stooped over. She's not hurting. She's not in pain. That paradise is just the same as it was in the Old Testament when they called it Abraham's bosom. It's a place of rest and comfort. Not a lack of activity. No. Some people say that we die and we sleep. They call it, no. We don't sleep. We're just as alive as we've ever. We're more alive than we've ever been. We're just waiting till we get our new glorified body. Now, one other interesting thing that I come up with, you know, Eden, the Garden of Eden, God prepared for man, was a garden. A garden, that term that's used there to describe that is the same term that's used to describe paradise. See, Adam was created and put in a paradise. But then because of sin, he was driven out of that paradise. And God put a guard on it. Nobody can go back. You see, you go over to the New Testament, over the book of Revelation. Now, I'm not talking about the New Jerusalem. That's altogether different. But paradise, another term for it, definition was something that's walled, is walled in, and it's beautiful on the inside. But man started out in the garden, got run out because of sin, because Jesus has redeemed us, saved us, we'll be in another garden, the eternal garden that God will have prepared for us. I'm dragging low, but I want to ask you a question, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and then maybe we'll have a little invitation. Let you go over the book, get back there. All right. Maybe just play a little bit. But I want to ask you a question. Everybody bow your head, please, for just a moment. Do you have assurance of where you're going to go when you die? Most preachers, when they talk about that, they're talking about hell. You know. But I'm talking about paradise. Do you know for sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? Paradise. Paradise. You can know that from the Word of God. You can know that. You know all about it. I just scratched the surface, folks, in these things I dealt with today. I just scratched the surface. But we're just going to let me have a word of prayer, and then we just have a verse, let the brother play a verse, and if God's speaking to your heart and you'd like to come pray, you'd like to have somebody pray with you, I'm sure we can take care of that. But Father, we thank you for your promises in your word. Lord, the things that you open up, let us see if we'll just look. Lord, if we'll seek. Lord, you've not hid anything from us. Just like Paul said when he was caught up in the third heaven, he couldn't. There were things that he couldn't say. But Lord, we can see through the things you show us in the scriptures. And we know that we have a place in paradise. God bless. Be with Brother Freddie and Brenda as they travel today. I pray you keep them safe. For you bless the church in their absence. Bless Brother Buck as he gives direction. Just meet every need. But Lord, if there's anyone here that has questions or doubts in their heart, help them to get it settled today. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Play, brother.